We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
For the PHNX Suns post-game show. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a five-star review. I'm Lindsay Smith, here with Saul Bookman, Gerald Bourget.
Am I out of
and
breath?
And Espo.
I am?
And we're celebrating with Sexy Sax because the Phoenix Suns take down the Utah Jazz 117-103.
Little Sexy Sax and Saul Bookman hard breathing.
What did I breathe hard? Was I breathing hard?
I don't think so.
I don't feel like I was breathing hard at all. That's not me.
I don't know. I don't think it was me. I was talking. Anyway,
maybe
welcome in,
Gerald
everybody.
Gerald was just excited by the dance.
Maybe he was getting all hot and bothered. He was like, ooh.
Also, if you guys didn't see Saul, as he so graciously and beautifully passed the camera, he does have his beard. Dyed also yellowish, right?
Gold. You know, this gold. I look like
golden boy in the chest that Saul got that same hot dog Espo got.
mine's a little bit of a different color, but yeah.
This was a little more yellow. It was like Espo's is like mustard yellow. Saul's is like gold.
Yeah.
But they both have paid up their bet, what they offered up to do in exchange for super chats to be donated to Ryan House. Gerald is also going to pay his up a little later on in the show. A quad shot of Jack Daniel's honey.
Jack Daniel's Tennessee honey.
35%.
You know, you didn't have to buy this because I have a whole liquor cabinet in my office.
Oh, do you really?
Oh, I do.
I dropped the ball on that one.
So if you're to do quad, that's like way over 100%, right?
You know? Sure.
Mathematically,
is that how that math works?
Hashtag analytics.
Okay. We already got some super chats at the start of the show that we'll go ahead and just name off because they are for the start of the show. Doug sent us one for the Sexy Sax.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Brian sent us one and said, time to get Garth drunk.
Yes.
Woo!
Time for me to pay my
bet.
Yes.
So that'll come up here shortly in the show. We're going to let him ease into it. Then we'll make him take a shot and then we'll test his soberness a few minutes later and just see. We'll just see.
We're going to ask him grammatical questions.
We'll see how this
definitions
of things. We'll ask him to do like multiplication in his head, see if he can do it. That'd be fantastic. All right, guys, let's start this one off by looking inside the box.
What's in the box? What's in the fucking box?
Oh, another beautiful, beautiful box score tonight as your Phoenix Suns win 117-103 over the Utah Azzes. Yeah, that's right. I dropped the J because they didn't hit any tonight. Oh, wow. 15 points off turnovers for the Suns to 3 for the Jazz. 90%, almost 91% free throw shooting for the Suns. The Jazz shot 66.7%, and that sweet, sweet bench had 57 points to the Jazz's 23. And that's how you get one hell of a 117-103 victory for your Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, I mean, they played a shorthanded Utah Jazz team, obviously, but I think the Jazz did a nice job of mixing things up with that zone. And that really threw the Suns off after their high scoring first quarter. But at the start of the fourth, the bench played really well. We got high scoring nights from this high scoring bench that we've seen over the last couple of games. Yeah. And that totally turned things around when they got off to that start and they were able to maintain their distance from there. So they took care of business tonight. It wasn't pretty in the middle quarters, especially, but they did what needed to be done.
It's kind of weird. This game was a little weird because it felt like the Suns had total control and then they let the lead slip away, but it still didn't feel like OKC when they kind of melted down or the Kings when they kind of melted down. It was just like they were just missing a lot of wide open shots. Like Terrence Ross, I swear he missed like 18 wide open threes in the corner. Mm-hmm. So you kind of felt better, like they were getting good shots that just weren't knocking them down. And I mean, it feels like this was total domination from the Suns from beginning to end, despite those little hiccups.
Yeah, I mean, Terrence Ross started like 2 for 9, I think, and then closed 3 for 5. So he caught fire at the right time. T.J. Warren, I think he started 0 for 4 and finished 4 for 5. So they really just clicked on when the Suns needed them to, because that bench unit to start the fourth quarter was at a pivotal point in the game with the Jazz kind of whittling away at that lead. And hopefully everybody is okay moving forward heading into Wednesday, because I know we have some potential concerns about, Book and the way he started the game versus the way he finished it.
Yeah, interesting game, though. The Suns shoot worse from the field. They shoot 42% to the Jazz's 44%. But they had 101 shots to 86 for the Jazz. I mean, it was just they got more opportunities tonight and they took advantage of them when they could. And the free throw shooting, Suns still got to the line 5 fewer times than the Jazz, but the Jazz only made 18 of their 27. Suns made 20 of 22. Mm-hmm. And that was a big reason why the Jazz didn't keep that cut into that lead. And the Suns were able to keep that double-digit lead going. I thought that was a big thing because, again, we had seen them miss some free throws over the last couple of weeks that, you know, made us wonder, was that the new norm or was it just a slump? Mm-hmm. Appears to be just a slump for them. They've definitely bounced back.
Yeah, because we saw Devin miss free throws too, which was like, that's not Devin's game. And tonight he was 8 of 8 from the charity stripe, which was good to see. But Gerald, you brought up Devin and what he was able to do in the first quarter, comparatively speaking, to the final three. Mm-hmm. And we all know that he had some tape on his hand. He had a little bit on his hand in the previous game as well. I don't know. Was there on some on the game before that, too?
I think so. But it was very light and it was just around kind of the wrist and the thumb area.
So it's gotten a little bit more.
I couldn't tell quite as well from the broadcast tonight. It might have been a little bit more. It looked like he was kind of holding it under a wrap or a compress of some kind. But after he got that hit, he was, 18 points, 5 of 9 in the first quarter. And the rest of the way, he only had 6 points on 2 of 10. So it could have just been a cold shooting night from there, but it felt like he was in store for one of those high scoring performances he's had in Utah. So hopefully the hand is okay.
I heard he was working on a new move where it's just kind of like the jab and go. So like he was getting his hands wrapped up so he could just
jab and go.
Watching Creed 3 a little too much? Or?
That's on like an Espo and Gerald level, Saul. That is. That jab one step. Was.
Jab some real step. Jab
there
step.
There you go. That's a real jab step. There
oh my
go.
Gosh. just... Oh, Lord have mercy.
Dancing out there.
You're laughing because you can envision it happening.
Are you guys concerned at all by this?
The jokes? With, yeah. I'm concerned by the jokes.
No.
I'm
always concerned by Are the you jokes. Concerned about Devin Booker at all?
No.
No.
I don't think so. I we'll see. We'll see what he has to say about it after the game. I'm sure Dwayne will probably ask him about it in Utah, but we'll see.
The hand's going to look really good when KD's there.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
Because I play Eeyore on this show, it would be kind of apropos this season for Devin Booker to be out when KD comes back.
That would be
because
rough.
Nothing seems to make sense this year.
That would be rough.
Yeah, that would not be amazing at all. I don't know. It's just, I know you could say it's just one of those games, but it's just, how often do we see Devin start like that and then just completely fizzle out?
Not very often.
Sometimes, though, when he goes to that bench in the second quarter and he comes back, sometimes that does
but not
kill
for
his
the
momentum.
Whole remainder of the game. He scored, what, 6 points the rest of the game?
Yeah. We've seen it happen before. And you know what? I'd have to go back and watch the tape and then have one of these two guys explain it to me. But the defense for Utah definitely could have focused more on him after that hot start, which gave other guys opportunities and could have slowed him down a little bit too. So it could be a combination of multiple things that happen the rest of the way to slow him down. I'm not going to panic that it's an injury right away. I mean, we've seen Book go on heaters and then miss a bunch in subsequent quarters. Usually there's another quarter where he comes back and heats back up. We didn't get that tonight.
So. Yeah.
Do you have sparkles in your glasses today?
I do.
Oh.
You do?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
These are my other set of glasses, so I switched glasses today.
Oh, because they did transition earlier today. Yeah. He had a very Dahmer vibe about him earlier today. Jesus. I was like, what's going on with his glasses?
I was trying to send a message.
Oh, my God.
He's eating me?
You better mind
you. Gonna murder the competition. Jab step.
The odds are better today, so.
Oh no. All right. DeAndre Ayton also returned after missing 4 games. And good to see him back out there. He finished with 14 points. He had 8 rebounds, and he was 5 of 10. How'd you guys feel about the way DA played tonight?
Yeah, it was a decent first game back, nothing too crazy. Still getting back into the flow, but you know, he still had a decent night. And I thought overall he was decent. I mean, that was it. He didn't overly impress you and he didn't overly underwhelm you. He was good.
He was fine. I felt like there was stretches where the whole team was struggling with their decisiveness against that zone. The ball handlers weren't attacking or pulling up for jumpers with confidence, and DA in turn, when he was catching the ball in the short roll, there were a couple of opportunities where he needed to force the issue, attack the basket, go to the rim. But it wasn't a bad game for him by any means. Obviously, shot 50%, 14-8 in 30 minutes. Like, you'll definitely take that first game back after missing a couple with a hip contusion. So he was fine.
So you're saying he was in midseason form with those not shooting from 6 feet and kicking it out at times?
I feel like he's good. Like, he's been good at that in flashes. I would just like to see him put it together more consistently, and especially against a zone when the offense is not getting a lot going and he does catch the ball there. I would like to see him just one dribble pump fake or one dribble strong finish. He's capable of it. He just doesn't do it with regularity.
I'm going to be honest. When Utah took the lead, I thought we were headed for another blame DA night.
Same.
Just a blame DA night.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we didn't wind up there.
Me too.
I can't handle very many more of those nights. And it did just dawn on me, not to jump ahead too much here, but it did dawn on me that I feel like we're going to get a lot of those nights this offseason.
Regardless of
what happens in the playoffs, I still feel like we're going to get a lot of those, and I'm not mentally prepared for it. And it dawned on me today. But Mike B said DA covered my picks, but Paul needed to get 1 point. Darn. Could feel your pain, Mike B. I literally feel your pain.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. So everybody, both of these two hit their bets tonight. I needed one single Chris Paul point.
That's brutal.
One Chris Paul point. And then we got a timeout at like, what, 1:45 left?
Yeah, 37.
And Saul was like, I bet you Monty takes him out. And I was like, please don't do it, Monty. Please don't do it, Monty. Mm-hmm. I've never been more mad at Monty in my entire life for taking Chris Paul out.
I hit the button. I was like, it's time.
It's like the panic button.
It only works one way, to take guys out, not to put them in. So
I love how everybody, I won't say every, Gerald wasn't, because Gerald's Switzerland in this whole exercise. But you two.
Oh, I immediately, the minute Chris Paul left, I immediately turned to rooting against Espo.
Actively rooting for me to get screwed in the final minute.
Yes.
I did.
Well, guess what? I didn't have.
By like the last possible margin.
Hey, Lois.
He'd straight up.
How'd these get here?
Straight up turn into a Mario, bro, when it happened.
He's like, I'm going to win.
Oh, my goodness gracious. But the really, really part about this is that now Saul's in the lead again.
Am
oh,
I?
Man.
Yeah, you think you took the lead.
Oh, man.
By $20. And damn. I'm so upset about this. So Saul's leading us at $286.63. Damn. I am now in second at $266.04. And Espo, you are back in the 200s at $224.50.
Like you're under 200, Espo, man. Well, guess who's back? I'm coming for you.
The sounds he's making.
No, okay. Let's just real quick. Hello. Welcome back, by the way. We've missed you. But no, I didn't want the Suns to lose. I wanted Espo to lose. And his bet was a certain
210 to 220
margin
total points.
Of points. Yeah. And so I wanted them
what?
To score more 220. Points.
220. Boom. Hit.
Yeah.
MGM and I are best friends now. They come in and I break my 3-week streak and not hitting a bet.
Well, 3 weeks. Congratulations, Espo.
Felt like it.
Jay says, how the turntables.
How the turntables indeed. Indeed, indeed. It's a sad day here at PHNX, but
oh no.
You have so much like gold all over your shirt.
It's leaking.
But here's the thing. We have regardless if I lost my bet, we have all won because BetMGM Sportsbook is officially a part of the family. We want to welcome them to the family here at PHNX. And if you guys haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use the bonus code PHNX and you will get up to $1,000 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. So here's how it works. You just download the BetMGM app and sign up again using that bonus code PHNX. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. And you will receive up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your bet loses. Just make sure, again, you use that bonus code PHNX when you sign up. And to tip things off, to celebrate this brand new partnership, we're doing a massive watch party this upcoming Saturday at 2 p.m. at the BetMGM Sportsbook at State Farm Stadium. It is on the Great Lawn. Parking is super convenient. So come watch the last stages of college basketball play out. They're going to have really great food and beverage specials, giveaways, massive TVs to watch the game on. And plus, if you register and place your first bet with promo code PHNX, when you sign up, you'll receive a PHNX shirt.
Disclaimer, 21 plus to wager. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. U.S. promotional offers not available in Washington, D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, New York, and Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369, New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona, 1-800-522-4700, Kansas, Nevada, 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts, 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help, Michigan.
I did tell BetMGM just, you know, I said, hey, listen, you know, you only get one ad read for the year because it's going to take us 459
okay.
days.
Listen, I'm glad that you poked fun of them because I was like, is it okay to poke fun of the new guys already? If you need help getting through that disclaimer, can I recommend some Four Peaks beer for you?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring a giant map of the United States for one of these shows. And we're going to try to point at each of the states.
Laser pointer.
Do you know where Kansas is?
Yes, I know where
I feel like both of you either are about to be cut off from whatever it is you're drinking tonight, or you both need a beer to calm down.
I can't figure out which one is the best option.
I'm about to cough every 5 seconds because the fumes from the fucking is just it's in my mouth. Like I don't want it in my mouth.
There's no way.
Damn.
You can't do that.
You're getting murdered behind the scenes right now for that.
Oh, man. Hey, I knew what I was doing.
Unreal.
Oh, boy. well, speaking of Four Peaks and the Cardinals, they go hand in hand. The Cardinals have a new coach, a new GM, and the third pick in the draft. And Four Peaks is the best place to take in the draft on April 27th. So if you would like to take part in this pivotal moment for the franchise, be sure to head on down to Four Peaks 8th Street Pub in Tempe. As a reminder, you do have to be 21 years or older to enjoy Four Peaks beer, and we ask that you enjoy responsibly.
I can't help it, Emma. I can hear Espo's nose whistling from over here.
Because I was laughing?
What's happening?
Oh my god.
If you audio, what do you mean audio listeners? What's happening?
This is a post game show.
No, I called out I called out Saul for breathing so damn loud, and it wasn't Saul.
Was it Espo or was it me?
It was Espo.
Well, it happens. All right.
God bless.
Okay. So, shall we hand out some flowers?
Let's hand out some
What
the fuck?
Everybody wants us to give Bismack Biyombo some flowers, and we will. But first, we need to find out who had the most flower power tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Who's wearing the crown, Emma?
The bench.
Every single one of them. Every single one of them. That was fantastic, Emma. I love this graphic. It's literally a picture of a bench with a flower crown on it.
Oh, my God.
I'm a big fan of this one. The bench did the damn thing, guys. This is now three nights in a row.
It is.
Love to see it.
They've been killing it. Terrence Ross, TJ Warren getting buckets. Whether it's been busy or Jock Landale coming off the bench, manning that center spot. Campaign had another good night tonight. Mm-hmm. He was a candidate for our flower child of the game, or whatever we're calling it.
flower child.
And Ish Wainwright was good. I know people have been low on him because he went through a really rough shooting slump there, but 3 of 5 from three off the bench. He hit some timely ones. So all around, really great effort from the bench tonight.
Oh, am I supposed to talk? I'm over here holding my breath. Is that what we want? A hell of a game by the bench.
You guys are so mean to each other.
It's all right.
That was a dick move. I wasn't going to say it out loud.
Then you did.
I'm sorry, Espo. I should not have said anything.
It's fine. What we were talking about, the bench. They were great. Give them all the flowers. Bench. Yeah, whatever the case may be.
Flower power, is that what we're calling it?
I don't know. I just wanted to make a joke about flower power at least one time.
Gotcha.
That's but I fair. Got it out of my system, That's so fair. We can move on from that if we you guys don't want to keep doing that.
We'll workshop some things.
Okay, but Bismack Biyombo was specifically singled out in the chat as them wanting us to give him some flowers. He did get in the game before Jock. I mean, he played the entire game, and Jock didn't see any minutes tonight, which in the pregame show, we were all saying all that wrong. We had anticipated and felt like Monty should have gone with Jock just for continuity's sake, but we didn't know there was a potential that Bismack would get that nod just because of how he's played as of late. And then Gerald, of course, you brought up the matchup as well being a potential factor.
I think it might have just been a matchup thing because Damian Jones is a big, strong, athletic dude. So they might have wanted to counter that with what Bizzy brings to the table on that front. I am still kind of surprised. I thought with the way that Jock has been playing in spurts recently off the bench and the fact that Bizzy was starting with DA out, that you would stick with Jock in that second unit. But this could be a situation that's fluid going into the playoffs. It could be a situation where, depending on the matchup, you have Bizzy out there or you have Jock. And as much as you want to see the rotation get trimmed and Monty stick with one set rotation, I feel like he is gathering as much data as possible on all these lineups. And he's doing the exact thing that people were saying that they wanted him to do, which is be flexible, which is adapt based on matchup. So, you know, we'll see what happens going forward. I still think he's playing one too many guys, but if it's all part of a process to figure out who you want and what they can give you, I'm okay with it.
I think you're overthinking it. I think if they brought Jock in, it would have violated the too many white big men on the court rule with Olynyk, Markkanen, and Kessler. You couldn't have a fourth out there.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
Three's okay.
It is Utah.
But four. No.
Oh, man.
We can't cross that line.
Man, the Vivint Smart Home Arena would have been lit.
No.
Vivint would have been lit if they had done that.
Oh, Vivint would have thrown a parade.
Oh, no.
God bless.
I'm pretty sure the churches would have all lit up.
Oh my God. You guys need to reel it in.
I had a buddy
out of pocket tonight.
I had a buddy text me. He goes, It's a I don't know why I can't say it. Is Walker Kessler look like a Hoosier villain motherfucker or what? And I was like, I can't stop thinking about this.
Oh my god, yes.
That's unreal.
Oh my god. Get it together, you guys. Oh my god.
Holy shit.
We did it. We got it. We actually broke Lindsay tonight. I love it.
I love you all right now because I don't know where to go from here.
I know where
except
to
for
go.
I guess my question is how many OGs have you had tonight?
Oh, I wish I had one.
It feels like you all have had like three. Oh.
No.
And the fun OGs.
Not just, yet.
Just high off Saul's beard.
So. Yeah, that's it. God, I walked in here and this wave of stank just lit up the whole crowd.
Not a wave of stink.
Oh, a wave of stink.
Well, that's actually the new flavor.
Bookman.
The new flavor is actually strawberries and cream. And it is a happy balance gummy, which means it's got a 2-to-1 ratio of CBD and THC. And like I said, it's the happy balance. It's got the properties that'll make your mind feel good, your body feel good. You're just in a really good, happy state of mind. And that's exactly what you're looking for from your scratch made edibles. And it's exactly what you get when you get OGs. And OGs is a fantastic partner of ours. Like I mentioned, they've got the strawberry and cream happy balance. They also have the sleep edition gummies, and those are in aquaberry, which is very tasty. And that sleep edition gummy, that's got a compound in it that helps with specifically falling and staying asleep. Ooh. It also helps with rest and relaxation. So if you are in the market for some amazing gummies, check out our friends over at OGs. You can find them at your local dispensary or by checking out OGsbrands.com. You must be 21 or older to enjoy, and we ask that you enjoy responsibly. Here's the deal. Gerald is getting prepared for his quad shot, but while he is doing that, let me give him a little bit of let me pump him up a little bit, because you know, over at gophnx.com, Gerald writes amazing articles that all of you should be reading. If you are a diehard, you also get access to his diehard only newsletter. Gerald put out some really amazing content last week that if you haven't checked out, you absolutely should.
Thank you, sir.
And of course, he will have amazing content this week as well. In addition to that, if you become a diehard, you get access to Gerald's newsletter. You also get a shirt upon signing up. You get discounts on merch and discount on events. So check it all out. It's really awesome. Espo, are you going to do one too?
No, I just don't know what smells stronger, Saul's beard or this.
It's this.
It was Saul's beard, yeah. And now it's this.
That's some good smell.
All right. Well, here we go, you guys. All right.
So the YouTube channel got to see me pour out 4 shots into this lovely Pollos Hermanos
glass. That's literally
glass.
Half a cup, Gerald.
It's a lot. Usually I do it out of like a custom made shot glass. That's for that reason. So we're going to see how this goes out of a regular glass. But cheers, everybody.
Oh, boy. Should we do like a chug, 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 or do we just silently?
Lindsay, I'm not allergic to alcohol, but this is making me feel like I wish I was.
Damn, Gerald, that was fast as fuck.
Woo, girth.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, I will say this about Gerald.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
When Gerald is ready to throw down, he can throw down with the best of them.
Fuck me.
I believe this. You know
who wants to do a shot of Jameson?
You know what was my the funniest part of this is I was like, Gerald, you're definitely going to be drunk after this quad shot. And he's like, no, it'll be okay. I was like, fine, then you're definitely going to puke. And he's like, nah, it's good. I was like, when's the last time you did a quad shot? Wasn't it when you raised the money for charity? And he was like, no, I think I did it last year. I was like, okay, so this is just a party favor you pull out every once in a while. Yeah. It's like, damn, fuck. Gerald.
It doesn't hit you until like 10 minutes in, and then it all hits you at once. So in about 10 minutes, you guys are probably going
to
have some fun.
I'm really excited for 10 minutes for us to be able to quiz you on some
I feel
things.
Like a fire-breathing dragon right
Gerald's
now.
Gerald's fiance, Amy, is in the chat and says, he has to come home with me, ..
Oh, oh boy.
Yes, I do have a ride home for anyone wondering. My beautiful fiance is going to be picking me up after the show.
Oh my God.
We plan this out. Responsible drinking.
We'll be helping her carry Gerald to the club.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Steven said, that's how you know my boy went to ASU.
There we go. Go Devils.
Liver training.
Mentally, I'm fine. That has nothing to do with the alcohol.
Oh, my gosh, Gerald. I'm impressed. I'm absolutely impressed. Ooh. All right, guys.
How much to drink? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. A little too much.
I think I'm done making bets.
We need another 3,000 for charity.
Maybe for a few days. You guys should probably take a break from your bet. Saul, is this like itching your nose?
No. Why?
I was just curious.
Because my nose is so big?
No, because you have stuff all over your face. I was just curious if it was itching all over your face. I mean, like, from here on down, yeah.
I know I say this once a month.
I'm leaking everywhere, but, apparently.
Oh, my God. Pause!
Come on, now.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, we got a super chat from Frank. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it. You said that shot will put some girth on your chest.
It's true.
Definitely. Mr. Kaminsky, always good to see you here.
What else would you guys like to talk about tonight's game? Because we rattled through all of my topics very quickly.
Did we really?
So what else stood out from you guys? Gerald, do you feel good to be put on the spot after a quad shot?
Well, I don't have my laptop either. I'm lost.
I didn't feel like when they went down that it was that sense of panic or dread you felt in some of those other games. It just felt like, okay, they gave up a little bit of the lead. This is a run by Utah, but they got this. Mm-hmm. Even without Booker scoring. And if for three straight games after there's been immense questions about this bench, the bench has dominated opponents in the last three games. And that has to be extremely encouraging with KD coming back. Because guess what? Your bench is going to get better. Torrey Craig's now going to be back on that bench and the defense gets better. I hope it doesn't mess with the chemistry. I don't think it will. But I really think these last three games have gone a long way to make me feel a little bit more confident when you got to rely on those guys for 12 to 15 minutes come playoff time. I think we're in a much better position than we may have imagined a week, 2 weeks ago.
I think, sorry. Go ahead, Gerald.
You got gold specs in your throat. That's tough.
I was going to say, I think tonight is kind of the blueprint of how a couple of playoff games might go in terms of the starters are struggling because they're playing a good team. They're playing a good defense. And the bench just comes in and kind of obliterates their competition in limited minutes. I think that is really encouraging because we've seen it for, I think, three of the last four games already where the bench just comes in. They got high scoring guys. They've got options. Terrence Ross goes off. TJ Warren goes off. Campaign plays well. Like, that's enough to win you a playoff game sometimes if the starters' minutes are even. So they're not going to carry the load. They're not going to play this many minutes like they did tonight, but it is encouraging to see them for the last week or so just come in there, have confidence and look comfortable.
Do we want to talk about standings?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do we have a graphic for that or no? No, it's okay. I can update everybody if you want. Mm-hmm. So
do we want the updated graphic? Yeah. No, I think. Go ahead, John.
So the Suns obviously stay in fourth place, a game ahead of the Clippers now, a game and a half ahead of the Warriors, two games ahead of the Timberwolves, and two and a half games over the Pels, and then they're clear by three games over the Lakers and OKC. So they're sitting pretty. They're in a great position, and honestly, they win that game on Wednesday and move another game up on the Timberwolves, that pretty much, I think that solidifies them as not being in danger of the play-in, especially after KD comes back. So, good things at the right time. And that's what you're hoping for this team. You're hoping for good production at the right time. And that's exactly what they've done.
Well, and I think, too, the biggest thing is that, you know, we did flip-flop 4 and 5 there. I think throughout the course of one whole day, we were in 4 and then 5 and then back to 4.
Yeah.
And now we did get a question in the chat if KD will be back on Wednesday. That's what the report says from Shams Charania. The Suns have not officially confirmed nor denied that report. We're checking to maybe see. Hopefully they'll practice tomorrow and Gerald will be able to actually talk to them and get a little bit more information. But that's all up in the air right now as far as confirmation from the Phoenix Suns, and also if Gerald would even make it to practice tomorrow, because the amount of drinking that is going to be happening on this show, and that has already happened.
Answer this question real quick, okay? I think I like the way the vegetation is.
Gerald's out with liver soreness.
Oh, no. Amy's going to have to drive him to practice tomorrow, too, and then pick him up and drive him back. But listen, we did get a super chat from Brian, and Brian has been a long-time viewer.
Yes.
And they said, yesterday was my 30th birthday. Can Espo take a shot?
Was it, though?
Happy birthday,
can Amy drive me home to East Space?
Gerald birthday. And Espo happy birthday. Are there taking a shot in really? Honor of your birthday. It's not another quad shot from Gerald, just one single shot for Gerald. So that's puts him at 5.
I think I got some assault beard.
No, you did not.
Oh,
tasty.
No. While that kind of settles in, I think after it's been like, what, a couple minutes, maybe we could start quizzing Gerald.
Yeah,
so while that one settles in, let me remind you guys, as the Suns are going to be coming back to town, that the best place to get your tickets is, of course, Game Time. And the best way to get your tickets is to wait till the last minute, because you can save up to 60% on tickets when you buy them last minute. When you buy through Game Time, and specifically the Game Time link that is in the description of this show, whether you're watching here on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast, that Game Time link is in the description of this show. It's the best way to support us as well. So make sure you check that out when you are looking for tickets to sporting events or concerts, wherever you want to go. And again, procrastination is key when it comes to Game Time. You can save up to 60% over there. We did get a super chat from Joseph. Did you have something, Espo?
I was just gonna say, I prefer Game Time. Like, a lot of times in the old day, you go out to, like, Jimmy on the corner there, and he's like, I got two for you. What are you willing to give me for the two?
We in fucking Brooklyn all of a sudden?
What is that? It's always, you know, that kind of guy out there. And I can say that. I'm Italian.
You know the guy.
You go talk to Jimmy. He's got two for you, all right? And you never knew. It was like you were playing ticket Russian roulette, right? You didn't know if you're getting a fake ticket. You didn't know what you were getting. Game Time, safe, secure, reliable, and 60% off. You're not getting screwed by Jimmy. All
right? This is facts. You're not getting screwed by Jimmy. All right. So we do have a super chat from Joseph, and they said, how are we feeling about Booker's wrist/finger injury? Joseph, we did talk about that earlier on in the show, but thank you for your question. And basically, we're all kind of okay for now.
It's fine.
Saul and Gerald have like zero concerns. Espo, I think you said like maybe a subtle concern, just natural kind of like, you know, maybe out of 3 out of 10.
He does a shot of Tennessee Honey and he's fine before the next game. Yeah.
It's definitely something we'll continue to monitor since it has been, he's had tape and wrap on it for a couple games now.
It's non-shooting hand. Who cares?
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on it, but we're should be okay. So far. No major panic whatsoever.
Tape that shit up. Let's go.
Until tomorrow when we hear his day to day.
If they ice Booker the day Kevin Durant comes back,
I'll be sad.
This city might just blow up.
Honestly, and I think that would be justified.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not cool. Like,
stop playing with our emotions.
It's not that we would be panicking. It's just more of an emotional like reaction to the situation. Gerald, how you feeling?
I feel okay.
You're a little red in the cheeks, buddy.
No, I know. It's hot in here.
You got a little flush.
Do I?
Little
I think Brittany
you
wants
now.
You to do another quad shot. It's your 40th on Thursday.
Oh, Brittany. One for every decade.
But Brittany, are you going to the game tomorrow? You're going to the game tomorrow, right? Or not tomorrow. I mean Wednesday. Today's Monday.
Yeah.
Today is Monday. I'm pretty sure. Happy early birthday, though, Brittany. I'm pretty sure she said she was getting to go to the game on Wednesday.
Oh, Emma, this is why Emma's our star
Emma
producer.
Brought Gerald a fan.
She brought me a second fan.
She just doesn't want you to throw up on set.
I also would love that.
I can't wait for this fan to blow so all this gold glitter can just fly onto Lindsay.
Oh, I washed my hair today. I would be so upset.
That's some of that Arizona honey.
We got Tennessee honey over here.
Yes, so Brittany is going to the game on Wednesday, which, I mean, that's solid because you might actually see Kevin Durant's home debut to celebrate your birthday. Like, that worked out really well.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Knock on wood, touch metal, whatever your thing is. Whatever your thing
is. Did you see the person in the chat earlier that said, this is as if Twin Peaks, the show Twin Peaks, started talking sports. And I was like, that is the greatest description of whatever the hell is going on here.
I've never seen Twin Peaks.
I don't think I have either, but this show is very chaotic. And I can only imagine if that's what if there's any correlation, I get it. Yeah. I understand. Yeah, the show is super chaotic.
Give the French guy a sobriety test.
I don't know how to test Gerald's soberness. How do we do this?
It's a good question.
Hold on. I did a couple of tests. Mm-hmm. Well, not like tests, but I did some research because I was looking up questions like how to test your sobriety.
Kay.
Okay.
So we can do a mix of either math questions.
Ooh.
Yes. It's pretty much like testing like your memory your coherence and your ability to like make decisions.
Okay.
All so right. One of them was like, it's 3 a.m. You have something to tell your friend. What do you do?
I wait till morning.
Oh, he's not drunk enough.
No.
Ah, okay.
That's boring.
That's lame. I was hoping you would get drunk pretty quick.
The correct answer is you text your ex.
What was the question?
He's drunk.
It's 3 a.m. You have something to tell your friend. What do you do?
Well, what I would ask myself, like, how important on a scale of 1 to 10 is this thing I need to tell my friend?
No, you wouldn't, because you'd be drunk.
You would be drunk, Lindsay.
That's the point.
Well, that's a trick question. I don't have any friends. What do I do?
Oh, this fucking guy.
Man.
It's your self-deprecation over here.
But what if I'm drunk and something serious happened and I got to get a hold of my friend?
Well, if you're in trouble, that's one thing. But if you just have to tell your friend something, that shit can wait.
Oh my God, it's so important. I got to text her right now.
Oh my God.
Give me my phone.
Is that your drunk voice? Is that what happens?
That's my girl drunk voice.
I wish I had gotten to see Lindsay drunk just like one time. I know. I feel like it would be a very
I so want her to take an OGs on one of these shows.
Sorry, guys.
Maybe after,
honestly, though,
maybe after a couple years.
I feel like you probably wouldn't have loved it. You might have been okay with it. I was a wanderer, though. So I was one of those people who would just like disappear. And then you'd be like, where the F did Lindsay go? And then I would pop back up and I'd be like, hey, guys, what's up? And then you'd be angry because you're like, though. Where the fuck did you go?
You would come back, though?
Sometimes, no. Yeah.
Okay.
Were no, you that's a not woo girl? Huh? When it's like 2 o'clock in the
no.
morning, you're ready to
no.
go.
Not a woo girl.
And then you got to find that person. Yeah. Like, where the fuck is Lindsay at?
I know. And I know I'm mad at younger Lindsay for being a wanderer because that's not smart. But no. It was what it was.
Yeah.
But at least I knew that about myself so we could prepare. So my friend group, we always had one sober person. Okay. And she always knew Lindsay wanders. I got to keep an eye on her.
We got a runner.
Exactly.
They just put you in one of those leashes like they have the kids.
They should have.
Like the monkey backpack leash. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh my goodness gracious.
The air tags on their friends.
That's actually kind of smart.
So everyone has like a little carabiner with an air tag on one of their belt loops.
I'm not mad at that idea. That's hilarious, actually.
And plus air tags, when you ring it, it makes a sound. So like
you can find them.
Or yeah. If you're drunk.
Chip our friends. Like,
microchip.
We microchipped each other. I know where we are.
It's actually really smart when you think about it. I give all of you youngins, like the 21-year-olds these days, props for coming up with creative ways to do that.
Back in my day, you had to wander around the casino shouting the person's name to find them.
Damn. Anytime you start a sentence with back in my day.
Yeah. Back in my day.
You're going to get a Charles Barkley-ass statement after that.
Hey, speaking of that, we did have a couple people in the chat ask if we had touched on the Charles Barkley KD beef, which we did in the pregame show. But I think it's fair to touch on it one more time here in the postgame show since we have a few additional viewers here.
Yeah.
So basically, Charles Barkley took another shot at KD and KD responded telling Charles that he just doesn't respect him anymore because of the way he continues to speak about him. And I think the biggest thing for us is that, and probably Kevin Durant too, is Charles not really going after KD's game. He's going after KD the person and his emotions and who he is in that way. And that's just kind of lame, to be honest.
It's very lame. Again, what I said earlier in the pregame show was it's cool once, twice, maybe three or four times, but like I feel like Charles Barkley talks about KD all the time now. And that's what he gets asked the most now. And he just can't help but answer those questions.
Yeah.
And there's one thing saying, like, I don't like what KD's doing. It's another thing to just attack him on multiple different levels for multiple different reasons. And I'm just not on board with it anymore. It's a kind of tired shtick now. And I'm not here for it.
That's where my question comes in is how much is this Chuck bringing this up? And how much is this just answering questions that he's asked? Because, and this is going to sound funny, talking about journalistic integrity from the guy that did 5 shots on the postgame show. But, like, as a journalist, come up with better fucking questions, man. Stop going to the same well that we've seen him go to multiple times. And, like, maybe ask about, have you talked with Kevin Durant, like, directly about any of these things? Or, like, have you reached out to him in any way? Mm-hmm. Like, because I feel like this same response is getting tired. We've heard it before. And like I said in the pregame show, I love Chuck, the player, I love Chuck, even the TV entertainer. But as far as being an analyst and as far as being one of these role models that a lot of this younger generation looked up to, I don't care for him at all as a talking head. And it's unfortunate because he is entertaining. It just feels like he speaks off the cuff a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And all of it is aimed at KD's personality instead of his game, which is what, which for Kevin Durant, as we've talked about before, is all that's important to him.
Let's take KD out of the equation. Mm. Is at the base level, and I'm not trying to defend Charles, I'm just legit wondering this.
Yeah.
At the base level, is this generation so different than Charles's generation that it would make sense that they come off as kind of whiny or whatever to him? I mean, they played in a much tougher game. They didn't get that generation was getting beat up on the court. Is there something to it from that base level? I think he's become a bit obsessed with Kevin Durant and talking about him in specific, but is there something at the base level of it?
I mean, Kevin Durant's what, 35?
Yeah.
35 years old. He grew up, well, he was 10 years old when that generation and the 90s were going on and stuff like that. So he knew what that generation was about. I mean, because he's been balling forever. I don't necessarily feel like it's such a gap. I just think KD talks and he tells you what he thinks and he's not always on board with other people say. And he responded in that tweet to somebody else and saying like, yeah, it does bother him when the older generations or other players that are considered great players talk shit about him. And he's like, it means something for him because KD, whether you like him or not, KD is a basketball purist. Mm-hmm. He loves the game. He loves the hoop. So when Charles Barkley's coming after him talking about, oh, well, he didn't go about getting his championships the right way. Oh, he's never carried a team. Oh, he's a bus driver, blah, 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 blah. Like, that does not sit well. And I think after a certain point, cool, all right, you gave your opinion once or twice. I noted, cool. But the fact that he has to continuously bring it up, that's my beef with it, is that he's cool to say it. Fine. We all have takes that we stand by, but the repetitiveness of this, that's what I think is just getting tired. And that's when you start to lose respect from not only people, but also this generation of people are going to look at Charles Barkley and be like, he's a clown for saying that, man, over and over and over again. We get it the first time. You don't have to keep beating a dead horse.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
No, you go.
Mike B also said fans never had access to players like they do now. Well, reporters, journalists, hosts, whatever, it was never as big as it is now either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it was, you went to the newspaper or the 5 o'clock news. It wasn't 24/7 talk show opinionated kind of material that you see now. So whoever was maybe ripping on Barkley, like Barkley is on KD, it was like every once in a while through a paper. It wasn't this type of a setting where you have millions and millions of eyeballs on it at any given time. It's just so much bigger now than it ever was, I think.
And journalists actually had more personal connections, better access back then. They used to fly on the team planes and stuff. So I don't think the criticism or flew on commercial with the team. I don't think the criticism back then was as pointed in most cases because they were so very close. Now you've got anybody that can throw criticism as well. It's a different generation.
I mean,
for sure.
And if you look at Charles himself, like he ring chased at the end. He was very thin-skinned as well, threw a guy through a bar window, did a bunch of shit that in today's world with Twitter, like he would get raped.
Oh yeah.
Raped for half of the shit that he pulled. So like don't act like there's just one negative because he's this old school guy and KD's just not built like that. Because if the roles were reversed, he'd be getting dragged more than KD right now.
Well, and this whole comparison of like generations and decades and all this stuff is kind of tired to me personally, because it's like, of course things evolve. What generation is like the generation that came before them in literally anything?
Well, and with technology, you can't compare it. There's just no way.
No.
Life was so different for those stars. I mean, especially Think about the Dream Team, like, and how they were walking around the streets of Spain and stuff during that that whole trip. Like, right. Nothing like that happens now. None of this stuff happens the way it did. And the whole comparing eras in general, I mean, you can't. The game's significantly different now. You can't compare eras and go, well, this guy's better than this guy. You fundamentally can't. Right. It doesn't work. So even the criticism from one generation to the next, it's holding on to a lot of baggage of their own crap, trying to project it on the next generation.
Right.
Two things from the chat. Jeremy said, imagine Chuck live streaming from the club on IG back in the day.
Oh, man.
Would be phenomenal content.
Thank you.
It would be out of control, but it would
remember how Paul
trending
Pierce
on Twitter for a hot minute.
Until I got through the window, you live streamed it on IG.
We literally have
it. So on funny.
Camera. Remember how Paul Pierce got fired from ESPN?
Yeah.
I imagine Charles Barkley would have had some stuff like that.
That's
going
what I'm saying. Yeah. It would have been like everybody who saw it on the internet would be like, oh my God, yep. And send it to somebody else. Yeah. You have to see this.
Social media different, coverage different, like everything. Even just our understanding of basic like mental health is different, I feel like, because a lot of the stars now are very cognizant of the impact that searching their name on Twitter can have. So it is a generational thing, but it is sad because these are two of my favorite basketball players that I've ever gotten to watch. And you hate to see them beefing, especially because Charles Barkley is already a Suns legend. Mm-hmm. If Kevin Durant brings the Suns to where we think they're heading, where they want to go, he's going to establish himself immediately as a Suns legend.
Yeah.
And you would like to think that Chuck, instead of taking this approach where he's already setting himself up to tear down what KD does here, would be setting it up to encourage him, to lift him up. And that's just the unfortunate thing is that's not really the nature of it sometimes.
There's no scenario where KD loses this, in my opinion.
This
like,
beef?
If he wins a championship, there is no possible way that you could sit here and say, well, the Suns would have won it without you. There's no way.
Yeah.
Not this team.
No.
There's no way. They would struggle mightily to get to the second, third round. So if KD was the difference maker, led him to a championship alongside Devin Booker, not only do I think Devin Booker goes in Suns history as the greatest Sun of all time, officially, because he's the only one to win a championship, but KD cements his legacy as a top 10, possibly even a top 5 player at that point, because he did something in a city that no one else could do it.
Yep.
And they've had multiple MVPs. They've had multiple runs at a championship 3 times, and all 3 times they couldn't get more than 2 wins each time. Like, man, shit, if he can only get 3 wins in a series, that would be a jump. So
yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I feel the shots hitting, by the way.
Yes.
They fucking
shots. All right. Well, I've got good news for you guys. Shot. Sade sent us a super chat. Thank you, Sade, and said, Dwayne asked Book about his hand, and he said it's fine.
We also have the tweet for this, if we could bring that up. Question, saw you grab at the right hand. Is it good, Booker? Yeah, it's fine. So Book always addresses this kind of stuff this way. He kind of just brushes it to the side. So we'll see once we get the injury report for Wednesday. Which will probably be tomorrow afternoon, but we'll see.
Let's hop in the Wayback Machine. Dwayne asking
Chris
DeAndre Ayton.
DA,
how's your hip? It's good. It's made of adamantium. Yeah, I'm going to play tomorrow.
Vibranium.
Adamantium, vibranium, it doesn't matter. Hard steel.
It's I'm made of vibranium.
Yeah.
So is my liver.
Yeah. But thanks, Sade, for your super chat. Appreciate you. Emma, let's check in on a few more of those drunk questions and see what's going on with
Gerald. Let's go, Emma. Give us some drunk questions.
Which one we have this time, Emma?
Gerald. Let's do some drunk questions.
Do you want to take a shot first?
Yeah.
Do it. That's number 6 for Gerald Bourget, who will not be at practice tomorrow because he'll be hungover.
I'll be all right.
All right,
and
Gerald.
Our next show, an intervention for Gerald Bourget.
Oh, no.
Gerald's liver brought to you by...
Okay, so this is going to be a math question, okay?
What?
It's a math question.
All right, math question.
So we got 56 plus 42 minus 7 plus 17.
108.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Nicely done.
I hate you, Gerald.
There we go.
Nicely done.
Are we that surprised?
No, but I was hoping that at least like 5 shots in with the 6 on top. It'd be a little bit more of a struggle.
No. Give us another
this
one.
Is like, Gerald.
Damn, Gerald.
He just wants to eat his bangers and mash, all right?
I'm just here to eat my bangers and mash.
All the questions I'm looking at, I can't ask knowing that Amy's in the chat.
That's fair.
That's also probably a really good way to gauge if you should ask a question or not, to pretend that they're in the chat.
Nobody seems to care about when my question
is in the chat. No, that's why I said to pretend that they're in the chat. I'm talking like in general.
Okay,
that
so
would probably be a good gauge of where the line is.
Yeah.
Gerald, so now we're going to test like... We're going to test your ability to kind of just like, are you going to be truthful or are you going to lie? Are you able to tell us your deepest and darkest secrets? Are you going to open up pretty much?
Okay.
What's the most embarrassing song from your favorite band? Most like guilty pleasure song.
Oh, my guilty pleasure song?
Yeah, one that you're like low-key embarrassed to play in front of anybody else.
You know what's funny? My like high school and college friends, if they see this, they'll make fun of me. But it's definitely Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus.
And your worst friends are going to make fun of you too.
Gerald is a woo girl.
You have to sing to Miley Cyrus.
So much, but now when it comes on, I'm like, oh, this has happy memories attached to it, you know? Like, think about it. When did you have a time when Party in the USA came on and you weren't happy?
I don't even know what that song is.
It's a party in the USA.
I'm so glad they had that cover in unison, too.
Yeah, it's awful.
What it sounds like.
Oh, it's a great song. Miley Cyrus.
What are your guys's?
Yeah.
I'm not drunk, so why am I going to open up to you?
An embarrassing song?
You talk about Taylor Swift all the time.
There's nothing embarrassing about that.
So say what it is. What's your most embarrassing
song? What's your guilty pleasure music?
I mean, it's raining men.
Okay, mine would probably be like a throwback song. Do you guys remember Sammy? I Like It. Do you remember that song?
I Like It.
Oh my God. He's like, I like the way you look at me.
Nope.
I like the time we spend, baby.
No, but I kind of want you to keep singing.
Oh my God. It's one of my favorite road trip songs. That and like Spice Girls, when you throw it way back.
Oh, okay.
When you were like kids, those songs, and then you belt them out at the top of your lungs. Yep. Love that.
I was
my
in
favorite.
High school when Spice Girls was out.
Okay, I think I'm most interested to hear Saul's guilty pleasure
same.
Song, though.
Mine's Juice by Lizzo.
Okay. Okay.
But Lizzo's legit.
I like go that. Fucking hard in the car on
I
that
like
song.
That.
I mean, I have it right here.
Oh, man.
But, you know, because I don't, I got to hear the song to get into it.
That's
so
fair.
That's
fair.
Yeah, I do. Sorry.
Emma, what's yours?
Go ahead.
Why'd you gasp like that?
I was gonna say Cisco the Thong Song. Amazing. Absolutely. 100%. Are you kidding me?
That's not a guilty pleasure. No. That's just good music.
But you can't lie that if that song ever came on, you'd be like, oh, shit.
It's cool for like the first like hook. But then I'm like, yeah, all right, I'm done with it.
Yeah, but that intro, you know exactly what that intro sounds like.
But that's one of those songs you switch up like mid-song to another.
Oh, yeah,
you, like,
for sure. You can't listen to the whole thing.
I will say this. I do get down on some New Kids on the Block.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Really?
Oh,
new
yeah.
Kids.
Oh, yeah.
90%. What's your favorite?
Did you go to the when they did the like tour?
I sure
did
the
you
fuck
do
did.
It?
Yeah? Yeah, me and the wifey. We went to go see them and Salt and Pepper. They're kind of sticking on their moves a little bit. They were a little stiff.
Well, yeah, you do. So you can't move that way when you get a little older.
Like, please don't go, girl. Oh, shit, yeah. Let's go.
Please don't go, girl.
Hell yeah.
X in the chat said, Backstreet Boys, I want it that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you hit the moves, though?
You are.
Do you bust out the Backstreet Boy in sync, like?
Tell me why.
Whatever.
Desire.
Gerald's drunk.
Yeah.
We feeling good now, fans.
I want it that way. Tell me why. Ain't nothing but a heartache. Tell me why.
Who's drunk here?
All three of you.
We're doing it for
I
you.
I never want to hear you say, I want it that way.
Gerald, I'm disappointed you didn't join in.
I'm sorry.
We're supposed to be a chorus right here.
I'm sorry.
We're supposed to be a team.
I dropped
a team.
The ball. I dropped the ball.
Gerald.
Oh, my God.
Disgusting brothers.
Brothers.
Emma, I cut you off. What's yours?
Okay, so About Damn Time by Lizzo. Okay. Fucking banger.
Okay.
Banger. And then I also have a whole playlist like dedicated to guilty pleasures.
You have a whole playlist?
You have a guilty pleasures playlist?
What's at the top of it?
Give me some. Snap. You gotta
at share the top. So the first one we got Heart Attack, Demi Lovato.
Okay.
I could see
Demi Next Lovato. We got Banana Pancakes, Jack Johnson.
Okay.
Making banana.
How is that a guilty pleasure?
But I feel like you're naming very popular artists.
Yeah.
Like what's an artist that you listen to that you like don't want us to know that you listen to?
Careless Whisperer? Fuck yeah.
Like,
let's go.
Mine, like Josh Groban.
Oh, by Wham?
Fucking love Josh
How
Groban.
Is Josh Groban a guilty pleasure?
I
don't know. I feel like you tell the kids you listen to Josh Groban.
I feel like you guys need to sing the songs because I can't. I'm not good with names.
I don't know.
Josh Groban?
Yeah.
He's like an opera-ish singer, kind of.
I think
one artist, like, genuine guilty pleasure. Mm. I can get the fuck down to Justin Bieber.
Okay. Justin Bieber does, I agree. I'm mad that I like some of his songs, but some of his songs are
Some of them are fucking bangers, and wow.
So Careless Whisper is, I'm never gonna dance again.
Guilty feet have got no rhythm.
Yeah. That's a great song, though.
It is.
It was in Deadpool.
I'm just thinking, all I can think about is throwback songs from middle school and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Okay.
But some of those are fun.
Those are Private Eyes? Private Eyes. They're watching you.
Oh my God.
They see your every move.
This one I have not heard.
I haven't heard this.
I don't know what
this one is. Hall & Oates?
It's incredible. There are some people in this chat right now.
Yeah.
There's 400 people.
Promiscuous by Nelly Furtado, yes.
That's a great song. Thank you. We appreciate you very much.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Team Selena, 100%.
Oh my God.
Are you for real?
RIP.
Yeah.
100%. Said if you still get hurts. In front of my car when AC/DC Thunderstruck comes on, I will run you over.
Wait, hold on. Fair. Team Selena, like Selena Gomez?
OG Selena?
Yeah.
Or Team Selena Gomez?
No.
I'm pretty sure, Jay, you need to tell me which one you're talking about. Because Selena.
Yeah,
right now, there's beef. But right now, there's beef going on between Selena and Hailey Bieber, and you're picking teams.
Right.
So Team Selena means something different.
I think
right
I'm still
now.
Team Selena.
I think it's Bitty Bitty Bum Bum.
But Bitty Bitty Bum Bum is
100%.
Yeah.
The only Selena team bitty. I want
but
to be part of.
I'm just, I need to know now if you're talking about like the current beef or you're talking about.
Right. We need clarification in the chat.
Wham, motherfuckers. Wham. Yes.
Michael McDonald from Mark. Tashi says, Danger Zone.
Oh, yes. Kenny Loggins. Let's go.
Wait, sing it.
I went to the Danger Zone.
Okay, yes.
Where are my Archer fans at?
I think we should call this kind of a segment Lana. Is the Danger Zone.
Dude, we need a sounder that's Lana. Like a warning to let people know that we have turned the corner of just into chaos.
We have entered the Danger Zone.
Into chaos. Oh, hello said the beef is done between Selena and
okay, but
what's
the
her
beef,
face because they liked each other's Insta.
Oh, the beef isn't really done though. Haley literally reached out to Selena and was like, your fans are bullying me. And so Selena put out a story and Haley liked that story. Fucking who cares? And then Haley rebutted and posted a story thanking Selena.
I think
who cares?
The beef drama.
So you're saying she got mad because she was bullied for being a bully?
Haley got bullied
for being a bully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to be fair, like Selena's fans are kind of like Taylor Swift fans. They're kind of scary.
They're crazy.
Yeah, they're kind of diehards. Yeah.
Well,
so
you
if you
bully people on the internet,
well, no fucking shit, Lindsay.
Emma,
oh, good one.
That exchange didn't go the way you thought it would.
Low key, Nickelback has some bangers.
Okay.
Nickelback never had a banger.
So I will tell you though, if you play a Nickelback song, I guarantee you I can sing at least half of it.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me a song. Right. Give it to us.
Rockstar.
No, you have to sing it.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh.
Come on.
I think that
Come
broke
on.
Me.
Come on.
No, I'm pretty sure I need the actual song on. I'll try.
Come on, we gotta get Lindsay to sing a song before we end the show.
I did sing a song. I sung Sammy, and it was really bad.
No,
that was enough embarrassment for one show.
Well, how about you were not gonna get copyrighted off of our voices? Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Have you heard us?
Song from Arthur.
Listen, we were right. Emma and I were right. Jay said Selena Gomez. LOL. Living with teenagers is all I hear.
Yeah, don't change the subject. Yeah. I want to sing. I want her to sing. Uh-huh. Let's get a song for us all to sing before we end this show.
Well, let's sing a song. What are we singing? I don't know that I know that one.
What's another Nickelback song? I said there's a good chance that I know half of it.
YMCA.
No. What's another Nickelback song?
Nickelback. Let me look it up.
That's the one.
Which one?
Oh, yeah.
I really am.
This is how you remind me.
Why y'all quiet?
But I really am.
Return of the man. Yep, that's a good one.
All right, before we say goodbye, we do have a couple of super chats.
Let's see.
Fiend Kicks said Return of the Mac, the best song for every occasion.
It's a great song.
True.
That song is a song that will put me in a good mood, no matter how angry I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And especially there was that one guy who went viral like 6 years ago for dancing in different locations. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. I have that video saved to my phone. And if I'm really upset or mad, I will watch it and immediately have a smile on my face.
Noted.
Immediately.
No.
Let me write that one down.
I'm like, we're just going to play that every time she walks into the office.
Well, then you will kill it if you play it every single day. And then Leo, thank you for your super chat, said Gerald sing win for your fans?
Yeah.
Oh, win. That's what it is. Everybody join in.
All right.
Okay. Count us down, Gerald. This is how we're going to say goodbye, just FYI.
Okay, but there's another super.
We have another super chat.
Oh, we have one more? Oh, sorry. Oh, Devin. Thank you, Devin. My bad. One of the newest members of our diehard family. Sorry, Devin.
Yes, thank you, Devin.
Gerald got that vibranium liver.
He does. He does.
Gerald, yeah, you do.
I do.
Okay.
I'm a little disappointed that Gerald's not more drunk, to be honest.
I did six shots.
Yeah.
Do we have background music? Okay.
Win! Curve everything else! Win!
PHNX though, Lindsey Gerald Espo. Saw past the ball, we here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me, I'll always rep the family. Rally in the valley like Dan G, no plan B. Always on the job, my team move like the mob. Turn the beat on.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.